It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Welcome to Lightning Radio. We do it every Thursday, just about every Thursday here on the Q, featuring Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. The Lightning is on the streets. The weekly Lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes. And on Thursday morning, it is on your radio. Good morning, Bill Moss. Welcome to Lightning Radio and Lightning Thursdays. Hope you had a good Veterans Day yesterday.
Thanks, sir. Good morning to you as well. We did have a good Veterans Day out reporting some stories, so not a complete holiday, but we'd like to take this opportunity to thank veterans belatedly for your service for freedom here in America, and it's good to be back on Lightning Thursday.
It is, and you mentioned thanking the veterans, absolutely, and this week's editorial for the Lightning, you are thanking and suggesting that people make sure we support our first responders as well, so thank you for that message, Bill.
Yeah, that's a good one. Maybe we can talk about toward the tail end. People should have gotten their annual, very understated, very matter-of-fact fundraising letter, excuse me, from the rescue squad. So maybe we'll have an opportunity to highlight that a bit more.
Fantastic. So speaking of highlights, let's get to the news, Bill, and let's talk about what I find is a very, very interesting story when you really, as the Lightning does, get behind the headlines. And that's the plan for this five-story boutique hotel going where the next to new shop was for so many years on Church Street clears its first hurdle with the planning board. Talk about this story, Bill.
Yeah, the old, or before that, Mark, the old metal Quonset Hut, Lampley Motor
right.
property.
That's right.
There in the 100 block of North Church Street. And if you look at it here on the radio, oh, you can't see it on the radio.
Oops.
Oops. But, you know, it doesn't look quite as boutique.
Yeah.
As some might think, but it does look. Like it's an architecturally, their intention certainly is for it to be architecturally compatible, with downtown, with the area, with the and it is right dead behind across the street, but it is right dead behind the most iconic building we have downtown, the historic courthouse. So people can applaud, sing hosannas, or fuss about that as they will. But this cleared an important hurdle, not the last by any means, but it cleared an important hurdle the Monday of this week when the City Planning Board, in a 4-1, I believe it was, vote, endorsed and sent on with a positive recommendation to the City Council the idea for this five-story, 59-room. Tentatively, it's kind of a placeholder name, they say. They're open to another name and thinking about other names, but tentatively called the Courthouse Inn. Also includes a meeting space and lobby bar and dining on the ground floor. And what you can really see in this picture, a really neat outdoor covered terrace on the top floor that also would have a little bar up there and a small meeting space for, I believe he said, around 25 to 30, maybe as many as 40 or a few more if you were standing around some of those high tops. Fewer than that if you plan to be seated up there for a much smaller meeting than the downstairs could possibly accommodate. So you can look at that. It's got kind of rounded towers on, I think it's on three sides. It's going to have different sizes of rooms and suites. They've done some trimming of the total. I think it was 72 or 3 rooms and now down to 59. And one reason for that was this change they wanted to make to the top where they eliminated, I think it was 3 guest rooms or suites, and made more room for that public and social space up on the top.
Which, if I recall from reading in the story, would be open for rental, correct?
Yes, that would definitely be an event space that certainly, and we have small weddings these days. Maybe it's a small wedding, a corporate event. If they were small, a fundraiser. I think the space downstairs would be a bit bigger. And we can talk a little bit about the status of other hotels, since that came up in the context of the planning board's deliberations of this project.
Sure.
And the Hendersonville Lightning has been getting a fair amount of queries about reckon what happened to all these hotels downtown.
Yeah.
Well, they asked Lou Holloway, who now is over zoning with his promotion to the job title of Director of Community Development, and that adds to his portfolio in addition to all the downtown and historic 7th Avenue development and or redevelopment and revitalization, the zoning and planning functions. So Lou was the right person to ask, because he's certainly been in the room for all the debate and planning and negotiations of the city partnered hotel, we might say, on the Dogwood parking lot on North Church, also on the west side of North Church, between 4th and 5th. That Lou describes as on hold, on pause, and a planning board member, I was glad he did so, said, "What does on pause mean?" And Mr. Holloway said, "Well, it's on pause until around spring time frame. We don't know. It's in the developer's hands whether to move forward with the Dogwood lot project." He has not pulled out or said he was going to pull out. Apparently, the agreement does not forbid him or prevent him or cause some great penalty upon him if he were to withdraw. So this is the Fletcher-based company that's built lots of hotels. That hotel, unlike the Courthouse Inn and another one I'll talk about in a minute, is expected to be, almost surely will be, a branded hotel, either a Marriott, a Fairfield, a Hilton, one of those products, maybe not their highest-end products, but maybe their second-to-the-highest-end product. We don't know for sure which one it might be. But that's where that stands, and they sort of said, scratched their head and said, we don't know about that. By all accounts, though, as a related project to that, the city parking deck is expected to go forward and start as sort of catty-cornered from the Dogwood lot property. That's expected to start in 2021.
Okay. One of the things I mentioned, Bill, when we introduced this story was how interesting I thought it was. Interesting in the fact that when I read the story, I found out that this company building this, the one that we talked about first, the 5-story boutique hotel, is the fact that they've been looking for a space like this to build a hotel in downtown Hendersonville for like 6 or 7 years.
I think they looked, Mark, maybe maybe when the economy was not quite as good.
Right.
Now the economy is not great, but we're all trying to forecast the economy that was very good before the COVID-19. And there's not really been a very appreciable drop in interest in Hendersonville in general, whether it's in new plants, which will and other developments we're going to talk about here in a minute, or in new residents in all of these thousands, tens of thousands of baby boomers retiring every day, that continues. So I think if anything, COVID aside, which we think COVID has an end, COVID aside, they found this property, which became available. I think it's being marketed through the Southern Commercial Boys, and there they are.
Yeah,
looks good to them, and they'd love to do it. I'll make one other point about that. I'm glad you went back to it, is that the planning board chair, Steve Orr, that's a native of this area and knows a lot about it, and says, you know, no one's talked about the fact that this had a lot. The developer had mentioned the word bad dirt a lot in the old car dealer property.
Yep.
And Steve Orr added to that by saying it's essentially a brownfield. Well, the brownfield is basically ground dirt pollution, not water or air necessarily, but it's like the Gray Hosiery Mill.
Yep.
Basically a brownfield as well. And you want somebody with the chops to know how to deal with something like that. And he complimented the developer. He said, look, if we could endorse an investment like this that would turn a somewhat flawed piece of property, you might say, because of a brownfield, and has the wherewithal to do that, then we should jump on it.
Yep.
And there's also discussion, which we mentioned as well, that everyone always says, well, there's not enough parking. Well, the parking they provide they provide in their plans and their sketches is at least to city code, if not a few, it's not a whole bunch over it, but generally a developer will come in and either meet it dead on or go a few cars, a few slots over it, and they do meet it. And he said, it's really not our responsibility every time a project comes up to say, oh, by the way, you must also solve our parking problem in downtown Hendersonville and provide us 200 spaces. It's just not going to happen.
Sure.
And it's not realistic for the developer to underwrite a whole new parking garage for the city of Hendersonville.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the fact that they mentioned that this is not a hotel, foot plan or floor plan that you see off the interstate that just gets plopped into this property. They really wanted to design something that, at least they feel, really fits into the character of Hendersonville.
Yeah, not to beat that dead horse, but one other point he made too was a lot of our parking, not all, but a lot of our capacity problem is during the day when you have shopkeepers and other downtown employees hunting for a space, and often taking more prime space than the shopkeepers and shop owners wish they and restaurant owners wish they would. And he points out that this is more like driving in at 5-6 o'clock at night when a lot of that traffic has turned over. So he says it wouldn't add to the capacity problem as much as some other uses might.
Bill, let's move on. But before we take our break, let's move on to other development news. And that is the nursing home and the senior units that also got an okay, I believe, this past Monday, too, for a new nursing home. Talk about that.
Yeah, this one was unanimous with even fewer questions, less fussing, and really sailed through because one, it's said to be needed. I don't think there's a disagreement there, and that is a 58-bed assisted living facility plus, Mark, an 83 independent living apartments on 8.5 acres on South Allen Road, which is basically across the street from Four Seasons Hospice's Elizabeth House and Hendersonville Health and Rehab. So there's a lot of compatibility and natural affinity, you might say, between all of those uses, from independent living to assisted living to the health and rehab if you needed, and even hospice and palliative care. So that did sail through. It's a large company out of Hickory. It's one of the largest in the South. They were AgeMark Acquisition. Well, I think that's their development company. I think now they go by Affinity Group. It was Affinity Group Senior. Now they go by AG Senior, I think it's called. But they had the construction manager on the scene. They had somebody via Zoom from Affinity Living Group, it is. I'm looking on the jump now. And they're ready to go. We're hungry to get after it, the construction manager said. There was some concerns raised during a neighborhood compatibility meeting about traffic and about stormwater runoff, of course, and stormwater control and retention. The speed limit on South Allen Road, which is, I was surprised to read this, this neighboring property owner said it's 55 miles an hour out there. I don't think I've ever driven that fast on South Allen Road.
Me neither.
So anyway, yeah, that did cruise, and that's cruising on as well now at this point toward the Hendersonville City Council.
Okay. Hey, we're going to be back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Coming up in our second segment, a couple of new restaurants in town and some holiday happenings you don't want to miss. You're listening to Lightning Radio on WTZQ. And we are back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's talk restaurants. A couple of new restaurants. New restaurants coming to town. One, of course, is one that we've been talking about, and that's this new Chick-fil-A that's coming over here to the Southside Shopping Center. They've cut the ribbon, and they're going to do some quick construction on that, apparently.
They are indeed. As the Lightning reports, the construction is going to be like their food preparation and their over-the-top customer service, fast, efficient, and fun to watch. Don't blink, Mark, because you'll miss the construction. In fact, if you blinked, you already, if you go out there, which I went out saw yesterday, they've just about gotten, they haven't removed it yet, but they've just about gotten the Rite Aid completely caved in.
Oh, my gosh.
And when do you reckon they'd be able to get this open? How quick do you think they could do it?
I shudder to even guess, but I couldn't imagine before spring, you know, or summer at least.
Well, I mean, I guess I would have said August, September, maybe a year from. No, he says April. You know, barring no unexpected hiccups. Joel Benson, the manager, people know him well. Maybe one of the best, certainly among our smaller restaurants or corporate citizens. One of the best corporate citizens in the whole wide world here in town. And Joel Benson tells a really fun story about first arriving in Hendersonville, and the Chick-fil-A executives challenged Joel to find Hendersonville, North Carolina, on a map, and he found it and brought his wife and went and was having supper at a Pizza Hut and looked around and said, "This town would be great for a Chick-fil-A. I cannot wait to get here." And as history moved on in the ensuing 19 years, Joel and his team and the town of Hendersonville really has made this Chick-fil-A apparently one of the best producers in all of the land of Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
And he talked about, this might seem like a lot, but I guess it's not for a really popular chain. He said they plan to open 130 stores, which is below the demand for cities and towns and regions wanting a Chick-fil-A. And when you think about it, we, little Hendersonville, has two Chick-fil-A's. And he says, he told the crowd of several dozen people that came to this ribbon cutting that means you beat out places like Houston, Texas, New York City, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas. And so,
wow.
Look for this to be traffic-wise, better organized. They can't help really the footprint that they had without knowing how much traffic they would have and traffic around them 19 years ago. But the plan is this: the building moves toward Chadwick from where the Rite Aid was. The only thing between the building and Chadwick is this double drive-through lane that encircles the whole building. So there'll be no foot traffic and no other cars back there behind it. And then in the meantime, the parking for all the dine-in traffic, all the dine-in patrons, is inside inside this big double drive-through. So you can tell that they are planning, you know, for the safety, of course, of patrons not to have to wind their way through a line of drive-through traffic. But also they are planning to contain a fair amount of cars in this double drive-through around the whole new Chick-fil-A. So 5,000 square feet. Coming pretty soon.
Well, one more thing I want to touch on this story, because I found it interesting. One would think everybody loves Chick-fil-A, but I saw the story on your website and I looked at it and was surprised at a number of negative comments about this.
Well, this is Hendersonville, Mark.
Sorry.
Everybody loves lots of things, but plenty of people fuss about it. A lot of us would like to move faster in traffic, but there's plenty of people that don't want us to do that either.
Interesting. So make your own comment. Go to HendersonvilleLightning.com and make your own comment on this story if you would. Another restaurant, also the new Zen Hen has now opened. I'm excited about that one too.
Oh, this is very exciting. Already very popular, and this is kind of the flip side of a well-known, nationally known. It's kind of instantly popular, like you say, with a fan base. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go to Chick-fil-A if you don't want to. This is completely locally owned by the guy who is an executive chef that opened that. It's in here somewhere. They opened that high-end Rue. He opened Rue in Biltmore Park. Randy Dunn opened Rue in Biltmore Park in 2009. He's worked at lots of Four Diamond hotels and restaurants, and has run and opened and run resorts and that kind of thing. And Randy had this idea to open the Zen Hen with GMO chicken and things like fresh vegetables, house roasted chicken, scratch made sauces. You kind of choose, you go and choose chicken, pork or seafood. You choose a base of rice, or I don't know, if maybe noodles and or some greens, and then you choose different forms of toppings, such as cherry tomatoes, chili lime corn, jalapenos, red cabbage, and so forth. So check it out. It's in the old Subway, the Subway that closed.
Yep.
The Subway space that closed on Asheville Highway. And it's Subway like in terms of going down the line. It's not a sit down and place an order place.
Interesting. I look forward to tasting that for the first time. Bill, with our last couple of minutes here, let's touch on some of the look, all of us. I don't know any other year when we have been more ready for the holiday season and the Christmas spirit than 2020. Let's talk about some of the holiday highlights and holiday happenings that are going on around town. First of all, the Flat Rock Playhouse virtual Christmas show. We spoke with Matthew Glover yesterday about this, and he'll be our guest again on Local Focus this morning. But they're doing a virtual Christmas show, their Christmas show that people have been loving so much since 2017. And you got the story here, Bill.
Yeah, excited about it. Local product of Hendersonville High School, Matthew Glover, who is, I believe, the original creator
of the Christmas
music
show.
Director of the Flat Rock Playhouse Christmas, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
So they put together this this production. They didn't, and what I thought it was neat reading, and this is a more of a news release story, not we didn't report it from the ground ourselves, but they did a good job of describing. They didn't just say, okay, y'all come out here and act on stage like always. They filmed it in different locations, not just on the stage of Flat Rock Playhouse,
but
on the Rock, downtown. They have a nice shot here by Scott Treadway of Tread Shots, a nice shot beside that Coca-Cola mural there at the old there at Mike's on Main, the old Justice Pharmacy. Of course, they got a nice shot of this young cast, including Matthew, Ethan Anderson, Blair, Eli, Maddie Frank, Alfred Jackson, Nathan Pfister. Some of those familiar names from past Playhouse performances. So I look forward to that. I think it's let me check here. Pay $50, I think it is.
You pay $50, and you have it for the entire day. You can have your whole family in. You pick a day that you want it, and you pay your, you know, that's like buying your ticket. And you can watch it as many times, as long as you want, that entire day. I love it. And the great thing about it is this is on the internet. So you don't have to live in Hendersonville to see this show. You can buy it as a Christmas present for someone, and they can be in Kentucky or New York or wherever and watch it.
That's exactly right. On the selected viewing date, the show will be available on demand from 10 a.m. to 11:59 p.m., just before midnight. And you'll pay your $50 and you'll get that link. And watch it, pause it, watch part of it, eat your dinner, and then during intermission and watch it some more. So that's a fun thing. And I'm really glad to see, and I hope they do really well financially, and I'm glad to see them roll that out.
Absolutely. And stay tuned for our Local Focus this morning just after 9. We have an in-depth interview with Matthew Glover about the show, so that's exciting. More holiday happenings, the Arboretum Holiday of Lights. That's on page 8 in today's Lightning. It's a drive-through.
Yeah, staying on Christmas and also adjusted, of course, for the pandemic environment is the Arboretum Holiday drive-through. Opens real soon also, Friday, November 20, and runs through January 10. You drive through, read all about that in Hendersonville Lightning. I believe it's also on HendersonvilleLightning.com. You can read about how to participate in that, what the hours are, and so forth.
Fantastic. And just flipped over to the next page, and a couple of other local things happening here. The Bullington Gardens, they're doing an online holiday craft sale. Is that how they're doing it this year, Bill?
There you go. There's that word again, online, virtual, whatever you want to call it. The 16th annual holiday craft and greenery sale of the Bullington Gardens, a very good local gardening folks that make such good Christmas kind of green decorations, such as amaryllis, poinsettia, cyclamens, Christmas cactus plants. Check that out on the bullingtongardens.org, I think it is.
Yep.
Bullington, yes, it is. Check that out at bullingtongardens.org, or again, go to HendersonvilleLightning.com and check that out.
And something that's not necessarily holiday-esque, but we're getting the big bee mural now, and we're also going to have a bee garden planted, right?
Yes, kudos to the Henderson County Tourism Development Authority for winning a grant from the Blue Ridge Parkway Association to create this pollinator garden downtown, somewhere around at the base of or near, certainly within sight of that new bee mural that's underway for the next few weeks or months by Matt Wiley, a part of his worldwide The Good of the Hive project, which aims to, I forget the number, we've seen it, to paint 50,000 or 500,000, some number of thousands and thousands upon bees to honor bees and their pollination task throughout the world.
Yeah. Bill, let's touch on one more thing before we finish this morning, and that's, let's go back to the beginning when we talked a little bit about your editorial, support the first responders who race to trouble.
Yeah, this is a good, we noticed getting the annual fundraiser letter from the rescue squad. They don't jump up and down. They don't have a large festival. They can't do those sort of things because they're at the ready at any given moment to respond to calls. Last year, the rescue squad, which is made up of mostly volunteers, responded to 2,821 calls for service. And as the Lightning editorial says in highlighting this service, as with all first responders, the more miserable the conditions, a torrential downpour like here over the last few days and weeks, a blizzard, ice storm, toxic spill, the more likely they are to be dispatched. This squad is made up of 64 volunteers, 36 part-time and 6 full-time members, and many of them log anywhere from 100 to 300 hours of training every year. It's got, the crew includes 69 EMTs and 65 rescue technicians, and is currently led by Kathy Morgan, the great teacher, phys ed teacher, and long time for 40, more than 40 years, I think it is, member of the rescue squad. Kathy became chief last spring, just as the COVID-19 was starting to descend upon and spread in our community and the rest of the world, for that matter. So check that out. One more thing, the rescue squad was part of this STRAC team that the Department of Public Health, Steve Smith and the Department of Public Health, Jimmy Brissy, the Emergency Services Director, and Mike Barnett, who's in charge of the ambulance service. Rescue Squad was a major part of this STRAC team that goes into nursing homes and educates, tells them, shows them how to isolate, rapid tests employees and people, that was highlighted in the New York Times and NBC News.
And you'll hear more of that on Bill's in Bill's editorial. You can read it in this week's Lightning. You can also hear Bill's editorial weekly here on The Q every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12:30. Bill, as with every Thursday, we leave a lot of news on the table. There's still a lot of news left in your Hendersonville Lightning, and people need to pick it up so they know exactly what's going on in our community. How can they pick up their copy of this week's Hendersonville Lightning?
Yes, and I must with an asterisk note that like in a couple weeks ago, but not really because of production of a production problem, but because yesterday was a U.S. mail holiday.
Yeah.
Your Lightning Thursday is going to move this week again to Lightning Friday. So
okay.
Do not worry. The U.S. Postal Service will get your Lightning there reliably, as always. Not their fault, only because they had a holiday. You'll be looking at Lightning Friday this week, so you truly will say, thank goodness it's Friday, because that'll be the day that the lightning arrives. But if you're really hungry to get one, you can get one today out in the street in any of our 60 racks, or you can go on HendersonvilleLightning.com and click on subscribe, and that'll walk you through how to join the legions of Lightning fans. Or also easy, call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as...